and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And we have appropriate professionals in our midst. Live in the studio, it's New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design, Mr. Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner, and Heidi Thompson, who will tell you her title as soon as she says hello. Good morning, Dennis.
It's great. It's great. Great to be here, Ron. Thank you so much. On May 20th, 2021, Thursday, and I am a certified financial planner and a chartered or certified private wealth advisor as well.
That's a new one.
Designations.
That's a newer one, right?
It is newer. Certified private wealth advisor, CPWA. Glad to have that behind me for sure. Yes. And then Heidi Thompson joining us this morning. Welcome, Heidi Thompson.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Our managing director, and retirement income certified professional, RICP. All these
RICP
numbers. I had mentioned as a point of clarification last week, the majority of assets that you have in your retirement plan will be from your own contributions. That's basically what I was saying versus the balance of assets that you might get from returns or allocations, that sort of thing. The majority of assets that you will have for retirement will be from what you have put in yourself as your own contributions. That's the majority. But just a point of clarification, because we're talking about a lot of things here on the finance realm. And we want to try to keep clarity, number one. Now, before we get to our material next week, we've asked John Sluice to join us, CPA. And we'll be talking about some of the new proposals on the horizon for taxes, what he saw with those most recent tax season. And we're certainly looking forward to having him. And then the week following, we're going to be talking about market prognostications, what we're seeing in the current market environment, price and breadth and latitude for this stock market of ours. And we'll see where that all comes up, because we have a lot of stats that can be really helpful in trying to help us all parse what is going on out there. So today, can you retire this year? Can you retire? And what will that look like? And how should we be thinking possibly about retirement? What are the things that we ought to be thinking about? And perhaps even what are some of the old axioms that we've all leaned on that may not make sense in today's world, and or simply just old axioms? Old. It's like, what is that one? After you eat, you should wait a half an hour before you jump in the water, right? Where does that come from?
Mine was 1 hour, Dennis.
Well, mine was two. Yeah. I don't know where half hour came from. I thought, well, Mom always said you got to wait an hour. I remember us sitting around, when do we get to go in the water again? Yeah, you just ate. Don't go in the water. You know, that sort of thing. So you bet. And by the way, it's so much fun to have this much fun to walk outside and enjoy the weather this much, isn't it? This wet, rainy, springy stuff.
But it's warm.
It is warm. We'll take it. And another thank you for those of you who've been coming by the office. We've been seeing a lot of new folks, and we really do appreciate it. Folks trying to figure out retirement. Should we do a financial plan? What will this look like? How's our allocation? How do we make this work? It's a work in progress. Number one of our notes: be ready for early unplanned retirement. It's a fact. Nearly half of retirees left the workforce before their target retirement age.
Wow.
Half, according to the Employee Benefit Research Institute, EBRI survey. COVID-19 has certainly accelerated this trend, but it's usually about... I'm sorry, we don't need you anymore. Or... we've got Johnny here. He's working up to things. Are you sure you want to be here this long? That sort of thing, maybe. Who knows what it might be about or from, but many times people are thinking, well, I think I'll retire at 67. And then at 62, they are done. So the statistics bear that out in terms of really where you want to be. So be thinking about these things 5 to 10 years before you get there. And we have a phone call, do we, Ron? Is that what you're saying?
I am saying that, yes. Let's get to, we have Dave in Traverse City with a question for Dennis and Heidi. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. I was just wondering if there were some changes that you recommend people make in estate planning, given some of the changes that may be coming to tax laws.
In specific possible increases in estate taxes, is that what you're saying? Or taxes on estates?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
I would definitely recommend that you at least sit with your attorney and talk about these things and whether or not your estate would even be taxable is the first thing under the proposed changes. And we'll be talking about that next week. But it's often the things that you don't anticipate, if I may, that might surprise you, like having powers of attorney, durable powers of attorney for health care as well as finances. That's one of the first things we recommend clients do and have updated. Conversation a couple of days ago with clients, well, we've named what trust company? Our children are beyond grown now. We don't need a bank trust company to serve as corporate trustee, okay? So that's why as soon as you mention updating estate planning, that can be kind of open-ended, perhaps, but having a conversation with your attorney right now is a great idea, okay?
It certainly doesn't hurt to, every time there is new legislation or new tax bills going through, you want to go back in and just revisit what you have set up currently. And if you can pivot, you may need to pivot on a few things. But as laws change, it's always good to make sure that you're going in every couple of years to make sure what you want and what you intend is what's going to happen.
Absolutely. So. The proposal is for estates above $3.5 million will be taxed. But, you know, it just depends whether or not that actually is even passed. So it's kind of in between at this point.
And next week, John Sluice, CPA, will be here as a guest and perhaps can address this question or similar questions, right?
You bet.
Okay.
Lots of proposed changes that are on the horizon for appreciating assets, that sort of thing, that are not good in terms of costs for the economy. All right. Thank you for your call.
And we just got an announcement from Traverse City Central High School that Lauren May got a perfect score on her SAT test, a 1600.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Good job.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
How rare is that? Man, that's congratulations to her and her parents, right?
Yeah, really.
What fun.
Yep.
All right, next point.
So you want me to retire? You want me to retire early? I want. When can I retire? What did you say? This year? Today? Today? I want to retire today.
But, well, sorry, I can't help you there. I'm not going to cover all the points from this article, but next is understand your retirement income options. You can start collecting Social Security benefits at age 62, but should you? Well, I can, but should I? Given the other retirement accounts that we have, given my life expectancy, given the comparison, we just looked at yesterday as an example, a couple coming in to talk about collecting Social Security early, and we just showed them the sample. In the sample financial plan, the income was about $200,000 different from someone, a couple retiring, starting Social Security benefits rather at 62 and 65 versus both of them taking it at 67. Obviously not a huge change, but given their life expectancies in this particular example, the total income difference was over $200,000 for their lives. There's still a lot of misconceptions about that. So what are my retirement income options? What should I take in regards to a pension, if we have a pension still? Should we take the 10-year certain in life or the joint life expectancy option for a joint and 100%? You see where immediately we can dive into the deep end of the waters. What in the heck is he talking about? Okay. So taking a look at what these income differences are and what could make the most sense for us. Bottom line, as we have discussed, the shift in responsibility for you and for me is dramatic. And we have to stay on top of this stuff. That's what we talk about it with Ron Jolly every Thursday morning. Next. Practice retirement spending now.
Ooh.
I know, that sounds really painful, doesn't it? Dear, can I have that bag of potato chips? It looks so good.
No.
No.
Not in the budget.
It's not in the budget. A common guideline you hear is that retirees should be prepared to replace 80% of their income in retirement. But what if we want to travel? What if I want to buy the Great Lakes chips? You know, whatever it might be, the Parmesan, whatever those are the best, really. Why did I bring this up? It's just awful.
All of their chips are. My wife,
yes,
do not ever bring those chips home again, but also make sure that we never run out of them.
Exactly. Don't tell me you bought them, but just don't let us run out, please. So, yeah, it's really, that's fun. But many times, 80% is not accurate because we're going to be more busy. How about that for a grammatical mess? We'll be busier because we're spending more time going, possibly traveling. Maybe we'll be at 100% of what we were spending for the first of in our pre-retirement years in the first 5 to 7 years, because we want to go to the Grand Canyon. We want to go to Yosemite. Okay.
That's not the way I heard it.
Yeah. Where is he from? So we might want to travel. And given that reality, we might be spending some more money. Then, as we age, generally, we're not going to be as excited about hopping on an airplane, possibly, when we're 85 to 90 years old. So our spending may much look like a hill, if you will. That's not a very good illustration, but it's going to look like a lump of clay, maybe, and the bottom kind of falls out at age 85 and 90 in terms of our spending. We're not going to be spending as much generally, unless it's for healthcare-related expenses. And so looking at it as a straight graph probably doesn't make sense. Next, reassess your post-crisis risk tolerance. We're going to be talking about the growth in the economy has been significant. Has the stock market already priced in most of that growth is what we're going to be talking about.
Well, another thing I found in that area that I talk about with clients when they come in is, you know, last March when we saw about a 35% drop in the market, sort of reminded people of that 2008-2009 and sort of brought back the reality that the stock market doesn't always go up, because we've been blessed with so many years of good returns and strong market performance. So,
does anyone remember that song, "What Goes Up Must Come Down," Ron?
I do.
Yes.
Yes.
Spinning wheel, right? So,
yeah.
It often gets to the point of stretching belief. And when that belief is stretched to the level where many don't believe it, then it goes down, and often precipitously. So the markets tend to travel in these excesses, whether it's on the negative side or whether it's on the positive side. So if you're looking at preconceived notions about where that should be based on some talking head, think again, perhaps, especially when you're looking to draw income from this thing. Income drawing is very different than letting it accumulate. Letting it accumulate at age 35 is, of course, much different than what you're doing when you're 60. And your ability to withstand that sort of volatility. We'll talk about some of these allocation recommendations that are old axioms, too.
All right. So this week I found an article by Mary Beth Franklin. She writes for the Investment News, and she's a great source of information on Social Security. Mm-hmm. I like to read her articles, and the one that she had recently, it says, soaring inflation is likely to boost 2022 Social Security COLA, or cost of living adjustment. And so because of inflation, and we've all been hearing that in the news, this could retirees could receive a much bigger cost of living increase in their Social Security benefits in 2022. This year in January, Social Security benefits increased 1.3%. So
for 2020.
For 2020. Nice. That is correct. So based on the 0.8% increase in the Consumer Price Index in April, which was reported last Wednesday, Social Security benefits could increase by 4.7% is what they're projecting in 2022. That would be the largest annual cost of living increase in Social Security benefits since the year 2009, when COLA rose 5.8%. But there is a caution here that rising inflation also means that seniors will continue to lose buying power. Annual Social Security benefit hikes over the past two decades have failed to keep up with the increase in expenses that older consumers typically face.
Of course, the issue there is CPI doesn't include a lot of the real things that people are paying increased costs for, such as food and energy. It doesn't include either of those.
Right. And the medical cost as well. It says here that Medicare premiums Part B, which cover doctor fees and outpatient services, are one of the fastest growing costs that a retiree may face, but they are not included in the CPI data. So that's just one thing that isn't in that data. So, but that everybody has a lot of those expenses. Mm-hmm. And of course, those have increased a lot over the years. And in fact, since the year 2000, the annual cost of living adjustments have boosted Social Security benefits by a total of 55%, while typical senior expenses more than doubled. Prescription drugs and Medicare Part B premiums were the two spending categories that increased the most since 2000, up 272% and 226% respectively over the past 20 years. So that can make quite an impact in how in your discretionary income that you have, even though you're getting these cost of living adjustments. So you can be happy you get one, but remember prices are going up as well.
That's right. So while we may see an increase that we've not seen since 2009, you'll certainly want to have some investments that hopefully perform along with inflation. You bet.
I have a question from the text line, Dennis.
You bet.
It says, hi all, I would like some general advice on where to begin with retirement savings at age 48. I have no investments yet, but would like to begin. Thank you.
Love the question. So the first thing we always recommend is look at where your current employer is. Are they offering any kind of plan and or especially a match to what you might put in? That generally is your very best first place to look. If it's a 401k, a simple IRA, or what is it? Next, look at what you can then do yourself, whether it's an IRA or a Roth IRA. While you cannot deduct what you're putting into the Roth IRA, the money comes out under current law tax-free. That's the Roth option. So it's amazing the number of options that you might have, given that you've already gotten your emergency fund set up and taking care of the other insurance responsibilities you generally want to take care of. But the retirement account, it's always a push-pull-you sort of situation, because there's always that dynamic. Well, all right, I want to put this money aside for the long term, but what about my emergency fund? So make certain that you got your emergency fund set up, then consider investing for the long term. And especially when you're able to do that on a monthly basis, that's where you tend to win and make the most efficiency with your retirement savings dollars. Okay.
If they do not have the 401k option at work, to open their own 401k account, and or to have the employer contribute, mm-hmm. you said IRA. Where would one go open an IRA?
Lots of fund companies are available. That would be, we're not supposed to recommend names on the radio, but if you want to come in and talk to us, we'd be happy to refer you to those companies that tend to do a great job, especially with those monthly contributions that you want to put in. All right? So our phone number at the office there, 231-947-3992 or proutfinancialdesign.com.
You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
And I'm the other financial advisor, Heidi Thompson.
And I'm Shay Pataja. I put the fun in financial.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design. Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner, is in the office, of course, the studio, and now joining us, the CXO of Prout, Shay Pataja. Welcome back.
It's great to have Shay. Welcome. Doing the Shay Stats.
It's good to be back. It's good to be back. I took a little vacation after a year of a pandemic, and I got to say, it was worth it. So if you can get out of town and you feel safe doing so, I highly recommend it. Okay, well, Dennis, you're going to have to weigh in on these Shay Stats today because they're pretty heavy and they need some interpretation. All right, so in the 289 trading days since falling to a bear market low on March 23rd of 2020, the S&P 500 has gained a 90.2% total return through last Friday, May 14th of 2021. That's BTN Research.
Isn't that wild? So the market, from recollection, on that date was about 18.5 or so on the Dow. Well, it's about 34,000, give or take, right now. So there you have it. It's almost at 100% gain from its bear market low. Who would have thought? It's almost doubled in price.
What do your advisors and consultants have to say about that?
Well, the market always is looking forward. And that look forward told them that there were way too many positive things, that the market had overreacted to the negative side given COVID, and that even with things partially shut down, the earnings of companies would recover and recover quickly, and indeed they did.
All right, so the S&P 500 is a cap weighted index. What does that mean?
It means it's not necessarily weighted toward larger companies. It's not necessarily. It's not. It's weighted toward the percentage change, in those respective companies.
Got it. Okay.
Within the S&P 500.
All right. So here's where I'm going with this, because this will also need your interpretation. The S&P 500 is a cap-weighted index. The largest capitalized stocks carry a disproportionate impact on the index's performance calculation. As of the close of trading on Friday, May 14th, the five largest stocks in the index carried the same weighting as the smallest 323 stocks,
mm-hmm.
and that's from the S&P. So what say you there?
Well, I need to read it.
Sure, yeah. It's that one. That one really threw me when I read it.
What number is it?
Number two. The five largest stocks carry.
It is a cap weighted mm-hmm. index, right? As the close of trading, the five largest stocks that carried the same weightings as the smallest 323 stocks. It does have a disproportionate impact, but not nearly as much so as the Dow Jones.
Got it.
So.
Yeah, and
it tends to still be more accurate as a reading than the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Well, first of all, the Dow only includes 30 stocks.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just very interesting to read all of these and get perspective. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The use of... Okay, so here's another test. Making you and Heidi jump through the hoops of all your certifications last year. The use of marginal debt on the New York Stock Exchange increased to $823 billion in March of 2021, an all-time record total.
That's margin debt. That's when you're borrowing money to buy stocks.
Oh.
Now, that's a great indicator that the market may be topping or in a topping stage. And the reason for that is it also points up the individual investor, especially smaller investors have really jumped in. In fact, to a greater degree now than in the previous, I think the stat was 10 years combined, given that reality, they tend to jump in at the last moment, and they tend to be wrong, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was interesting, too, because it continues to say that the marginal debt was only, well, not only, but it was basically half, $479 billion as of March last year. So, and that's from the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. Say that five times fast. All right. Inflation using the Consumer Price Index was up 4.2% on a trailing one-year basis through April 30th of 2021. The last calendar year that reported inflation of at least 4.2% was 1990, when inflation advanced 6.1%, and that's from the Department of Labor.
Yeah, we're already getting calls from the Fed that they're going to need to start, instead of looking in the rearview mirror at what inflation is, start looking ahead a little bit, perhaps, to begin to quell some of this inflationary pressure we're seeing. We have a huge amount of money in people's savings accounts, generally the general public, and with what's guessed or thought is a significant amount of spending potential coming up with no real way to satisfy a lot of that because the producers are all behind.
Mm.
Yes.
Yes. I heard that, speaking of spending on things, trying to find a camper right now or any outdoor activity product is basically get in line.
Really difficult.
Just get in line.
Yes.
Yeah. Since the beginning of the pandemic, the government has extended six times the moratorium on foreclosures and evictions on federally backed single-family home mortgages. The most recent extension announced on February 16th of 2021 expires on June 30th of 2021. So that's from the Federal Housing Finance Agency. All right, the American Families Plan, AFP, proposed by the Biden White House on April 28th of 2021, includes some tax increases on high-income households. Examples are an increase of the top marginal tax rate from 37% to 39.6%, which we've talked about the history of taxes. That's really not that much compared to where it's been.
No.
The removal of the step-up in basis on inherited assets for gains above $1 million. And the elimination of the 1031 exchange, the tax deferral for gains in excess of $500,000. So that's from the American Families Plan.
That's, we have to make the rich people pay their fair share. That's what that's all about.
Gotcha.
Ron, I can see he's all excited about that one.
Calm down, Ron. Jeez.
Yeah.
All right. Talking about work and people being out of work, it's a hot topic right now. One out of every five American adults, so 20% in their prime working years, who do not have a college bachelor's degree lost their job in 2020. However, one out of every American adults, so 12% in their prime working years, who do have a college bachelor's degree also lost their job in 2020. So that's from the Federal Reserve Survey of Household Economics and Decision Making. And we talk a lot about that. Like, what does a degree get you? What's the ROI on that? And yes, that's kind of an example of having that degree might count for something in the long run.
It certainly does. But at the same time, you do have to take a look at what am I going to get for all this money put out?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a return expected?
Mm-hmm. All right. So this one is titled, Give Me a Hug, Run. Oh, thanks. As of Friday, May 14, 2021, 119 million Americans are fully vaccinated, or 36% of our 332 million population. And that's from, of course, the CDC.
So 36% are fully vaccinated.
Correct.
Interesting.
Yep.
I'd read somewhere that state of Michigan was near the 55% or so level.
56%. I checked yesterday.
56.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
So there's your Shea stats for the week. It's good to see you, Ron.
Good to see you, Shea.
Sure,
there
appreciate
it,
Shea. Wow, those were heavy duty. What's interesting, when you take a look at this, these numbers, the idea of 57% of taxpayers, that's not the one. Just pay your fair share. That wasn't the one either. Sorry, the price increases and all the rest. The Consumer Price Index, that'll be very interesting to see how much increase we actually see in those numbers, especially going forward. There are a lot of statistical analysis that's saying these increases will be much greater than anticipated on a variety of fronts. So thanks, Shay, for sharing that.
Can you do one question?
Sure, you bet.
This was called into Colleen. How much accessible money should be in your emergency fund? A percentage, or what would you advise?
Great question. Generally, 3 to 6 months of living expenses,
uh-huh,
even though you're taking, certainly getting a lower interest rate on that sort of money. And as part of it depends on your own comfort level. We've got some clients that say, listen, I need a year there to feel comfortable. So it depends on what your expenses are. But if your basic living expenses are $3,000 a month, let's say, a common number might be $9,000 to $10,000 in savings that you can access to for emergencies or other issues, things that come up. Great plan in terms of looking forward.
3 to 6 months.
3 to 6 months generally, yes.
All right.
All right, a couple more points here on thinking about retirement. Consider part-time work for retirement. We see a lot more clients doing that these days toward the end of our notes here. Consider part-time work. Whether you're already retired or you're making plans for retirement, now's a good time to think about how you might earn additional income, or what would that thing be that you'd most like to do that you've put off for years and years? Yes, Heidi.
And I would just say that a lot of our clients are extremely talented, and they'll bring in pictures of, you know, now they have time to do that woodworking or some of those craft items, and they've been able to make a little part-time job out of it. And you can tell it's stuff that they really enjoy doing, and they have a lot of passion in it. And so that could be an idea of a way to have a part-time job after you retire.
Indeed. And Ron has reminded me, which I totally have forgotten about, and my apologies to Tim and Patty Dietland. Tim had there was a video done of him tuning, and this video is incredible, telling a really cool story of Tim's work ethic. Tim is a longtime friend. In fact, we have a men's group that meets out at their place every Tuesday evening, and it's a awesome time, awesome thing to be a part of. But he's also an incredibly talented piano tuner, and it was so inspiring that I wanted to add this as a part of today's show. So do you have that, Ron, for us? It's about 2.5 minutes, and even though it's meant as a video, it's still, I think you'll find, really inspiring. Someone who loves what he does, speaking of even part-time work. Mm-hmm. So hit it if you would, Ron.
Patty, turn off the stereo. I've always been able to say music's been a part of my life. I was heading to be a musician until I realized I wanted to service pianos as a career. I feel as though every day for me is pretty joyful, and that can be challenged when people said, how can you be joyful? You can't see. And yes, I have my moments of frustration. Blindness is no picnic. But I've been able to actually transfer sound waves into something I can see with my non-vision. My experience was the dream. And when you're learning by experience, it means repetition over and over again. Now, as I look back over 40-some years of this, I see it as an absolute order of God. I truly believe that when I find myself even walking by my own piano, my ears might be tired, but give it 2 minutes of enjoyment. You know, I certainly leave this world for that minute. I have been hugely fulfilled tuning pianos. I'm blessed to be able to say, I'm never going to retire. I'm going to do this until my right arm falls off. It's still one of those things I think I'm always going to desire, that good life that's been given me of tuning pianos.
And that is the piano tuner. And that was a really well done video, high production quality there. And that's Tim, is that his name?
Tim Dietlin.
So he did the score of that too, that music.
Yeah, he was actually playing that. And honestly, I don't know that was his own music.
He said on the credits that he wrote the score.
That doesn't surprise me. That is consummate Tim Dietlin. I didn't realize that. And I don't know. Honestly, nearly as much about that video as I ought, given the introduction. But it was surprising to hear Tim playing that. That was him, indeed, playing that as well.
It did show him tuning a piano, but you can still imagine a lot of this as you listen. But did he say he was blind?
He is.
Wow.
Indeed. Yeah. Yep. So he navigates life incredibly well. And he has taken what some people would view as lemons and turned them into the proverbial lemonade. So a shout out to Tim Dietlin and Patty. What an awesome team they are, and their family. Oh, my gosh. Lots of grandkids running around there, too. So good stuff, you bet. So as we mentioned, consider part-time work in retirement. It's not just about earning the money, although obviously that can help. But perhaps what is it that you could do or should want to do, given your skills, talents, all the rest, and needing, frankly, perhaps to get out of the house once in a while from underfoot? Don't you need to be somewhere, you? Mm. You know, that sort of thing. Mm. Next, should you postpone retirement? The job is going incredibly well. You love your career. What could you do to perhaps postpone it, or should you want to, given that even a few years can make a difference? We've seen that again and again and again. Minor adjustments made, not just to the rate of return that we might expect, but also the timing of retirement. Maybe he wants to retire a bit earlier, she a bit later, however that might look, than what they'd previously thought, and or changing up the expenses a little bit in retirement too. Minor adjustments are surprising in terms of your success rate for and at retirement. And if you can, take away some of those preconceived notions about retirement and allow yourself to begin to think what would we really like to do or accomplish related to retirement? What are the things that maybe we've not even allowed ourselves to think about in relation to retirement? What types of volunteer activities? We have a plethora of volunteer activities given summer here in the Traverse City region that you could really pour yourself into. Given one example, the Grand Traverse Land Conservancy. What an amazing group that is. All right? Just to use as a quick example. Father Fred's another one. Have a lot of volunteers helping them out too. And other volunteer organizations as well. So retirement can be much more fulfilling than what you previously may have thought. Just given some time and effort and energy into thinking about what could this possibly look like. That is the fun stuff related to retirement that we get to see with our clients. It's inspiring on this side too.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.